Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Rob and Rob.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Rob and Rob, the show where you get your questions in, most of the time property related, and we do our very best to give you some decent answers. This week, the setup is no different. We've got questions in from Philippa and Noel. But before we get started, let's remind you how you can get involved.
Yeah, it's not hard. All you've got to do is call 013 808 0035. That's 013 808 0035. Or you can go to propertyhub.net/ask. Leave us a voicemail via either of those methods. We make it easy because we love to hear from you. We make it easy because we love for you to get in touch, just like Philippa has.
Hi, Rob and Rob. It's Philippa, and I'm a long-term grateful listener. I'd love to ask for your wisdom on a situation we have with a buy-to-let property in Liverpool. The property was marketed at £110,000, which seemed good value for the location and the build. And for Rob's benefit, I'll say it's around the corner from Trent Alexander-Arnold Place. We put an offer in, and we were quickly told by the estate agent that another buyer had bid much higher. Essentially, the bidding went up to a point that we offered £126,000. Which seems fair for the location. We're happy with the ROI on the end price. However, we're concerned about the practice of the estate agent. We've got a strong sense that they may have invented this competing buyer. Just wondered whether you know of any options that we have available to find out whether this was the case, and if so, potentially reducing the purchase price on that basis. Hope that makes sense. Looking forward to your thoughts. Thank you.
Philippa, I know that part of the world very, very well. My first house wasn't too far away from that area too. So let's talk about your situation. Is it possible that the estate agent has generated fictional interest to boost up the price? It's entirely possible. And actually, in auctions, this is very much a real thing. They just bid off the wall being that nobody, to increase a price. If they think they can use that as a tool, they are actually allowed to do that. Your estate agent here may be doing this as well. We can have all the debates on whether it's ethical or not. You could argue that they're looking after the interests of the sellers, or they're trying to maximize the value they can achieve for them. Maybe they're friends with the seller, who knows? But this is where you can reflect on your own engagements. Now, Philippa, I'm not saying this has transpired, but I think it's useful for everybody listening to hear. When you are dealing with an estate agent, how are you coming across? Are you coming across super eager, absolutely keen to do a deal, putting all your cards on the table, maybe acting a bit naive, not knowing the area that well? It doesn't have to all ring true, but if any of that rings true, then an estate agent, a savvy estate agent, will pick up on that straight away and may decide to leverage that to their seller's advantage and ultimately increase the potential commission on offer. Whenever I've given advice to people who are about to engage with an estate agent, it's always have a plan before you go in. What are you going to say? What are you going to offer if you're at that stage? How are you going to present your offer? How are you going to justify that lower price than you offered? You need to have all of that ready. Don't go into a call and just wing it as you go, because if the estate agent is switched on, they may be able to take advantage of you and the situation. Now, I'm not saying that has happened here. The estate agent may have absolutely had another buyer in the wings, and it's just, you know, you've read the situation wrong. But regardless of the fact, the advice stands. Make sure you're always prepped going into any call, know exactly what you want, what outcomes you want, and how you're going to present your case to get those outcomes, even if it's not even at offer stage, because the more you do that, the more prep you put into those conversations, the more likely the outcome will be more favourable to you in the end.
Some great advice for you there, Philippa. Let's see what we can do for our next caller.
Hi, Rob and Rob. It's Noel here from London. As always, thanks for the great content. I've learned so much listening to your podcasts over the years, so I'm really grateful for the advice and tips that you share. I have a quick question on releasing equity. So I bought two derelict properties back in 2013 and 2015, which I renovated with my dad, and I now rent them out as a second income. As you know, property prices have done quite well since then. My current loan to value is about 50% on each of them, and I want to buy more property, but I can't seem to release any more equity from the current value, as I'm at the top of the stress test based on the rental income. And I can't increase the rent, as I'm really at the top end for that area. But it just seems mad that I can't release any more funds. So be grateful to kind of hear what other options are out there, if any, and also if other people are experiencing the same frustrating situation. Thanks
Noel,
again.
You are in an unfortunate situation, but you're not alone. Well, Actually, you're not in an unfortunate situation. You've done very well. The reason you're in this position is that your properties have gone up in value significantly, which is no bad thing. You haven't said where the properties are, but you said that you're in London. So I'm going to assume that they are somewhere nearby as you renovated them yourselves. And therefore, it's not surprising that you've done well, because London, up until the last year or so, has had a really good run. And as a result, there are lots of people in the same situation as you, where the stress test is holding them back, and you can't build your portfolio by refinancing in the same way as you would have done in the good old days before that restriction came in. So what can you do? There are a couple of options, but I'll warn you in advance, neither of them is particularly that appealing. The first option is you actually sell these properties and redeploy the cash somewhere else. Two benefits to doing that. One is that you get to use all the equity, all the cash that you've released. And the second reason is you might be able to go and redeploy it in an area where capital values are lower, yields are better. Therefore, you're not going to get trapped at the same level next time. But I know that's probably not particularly what you want to do. You'd far rather just keep building up on that portfolio you've already got. That brings you to the second option, which again is not brilliant, because it's just wait and see. Wait and see is not a brilliant strategy most of the time, and indeed it's not now. But the only reason I mention it is that there are changes in the mortgage market at the moment that we've talked about on the podcast in recent weeks, where it seems that because there is so much demand for property, the market's doing well, prices are going up, there's more competition among lenders, and lenders are bringing out new products which are a little bit more liberal in terms of what they'll allow. So for example, we've seen higher loan to values, we've seen lenders accepting less perfect credit, and we've seen longer fixes. Most of this has been in the owner-occupier market, but there's no reason why this shouldn't find its way to the investor market as well. While those stress tests are in place and they're unlikely to get removed completely, they might be watered down a bit, and lenders do have some discretion in which level they test on, so you might find them tweaking the amount of rental cover they require, for example, and therefore putting you in a position where you can borrow more. It's probably still not going to get you to where you want to be, but it might be an improvement. So I'm sorry, I don't have a real killer answer for you. There's nothing that I can think of that you may have missed. If anyone listening has a smarter idea, then jump on the Property Hub forum and let everyone know. But do keep a close eye on the mortgage market over the rest of this year, because things seem to be going in the right direction for you and something may happen to help you out.
So thank you, Philippa. Thank you, Noel. And thank you for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with the Property Podcast, and of course, back the same time next week with Ask Rob and Rob. So until then, take care, have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.